My dear friends, in the course of history, mankind has suffered numerous catastrophes. From wars and earthquakes to famines and plagues, the human race has faced various challenges down through the centuries. One plague in particular was accompanied by a wondrous event that cannot but inspire confidence in these days. In the early months of the year 590, a terrible plague broke out in Europe. Italy was one of the hardest hit countries. And it was one of the most afflicted countries because, aside from suffering from the plague, Italy was also suffering from famine. There was hardly any food in Italy. And so people were suffering and dying from both plague and famine. Thus, as one church historian writes, the city of Rome was literally desolate. And if that were not enough, the Tiber River overflowed, and it flooded the city of Rome and all the surrounding areas, making things all the more difficult. People died by the thousands. And among the first to die from the disease was Pope St. Pelagius II. He had turned his residence into a makeshift hospital for the sick. But in the end, he contracted the plague, and he died on February 8th, 590. Now, after his death, one of the greatest men to ever govern the church was elected as his successor. This man took the name Gregory, and he will be forever known as Pope St. Gregory the Great. St. Gregory the Great's first order of business was to tackle the deadly plague, which, according to certain historians, was killing as many as 80 people per hour. Pope Gregory began by directing his efforts to help the people of the city. He offered Mass each day for his people, and he continually pleaded with God in prayer to bring about an end to the deadly plague. In addition to this, Gregory frequently exhorted the dying, he comforted the living, and he encouraged the faithful to pray and sacrifice. At length, Pope Gregory ordered a procession through the streets of Rome. And this, as certain church historians tell us, was the origin of the Greater Litanies, which Holy Mother Church prays to this day each year on April 25th. Pope Gregory requested that the litany of the saints be chanted, that various prayers be recited by the faithful, and that the venerable image of Our Lady that was painted by St. Luke be carried at the head of the procession. According to a venerable tradition, it is said that as the procession advanced with the holy image at its head, the air became healthier, fresher, and clearer, and that the odor of plague dissipated, as if it could not stand the presence of the holy picture. The procession moved onward until it reached the bridge uniting the city of Rome to the building known at the time as the Mausoleum of Emperor Hadrian. As the Pope and his people processed slowly across the bridge, chanting the litanies of Holy Mother Church, something happened. Something that completely astonished Pope Gregory. Suddenly, a chorus of angels could be heard. Regina Caeli Laetare Alleluia, the angels sang. Quia quem meruisti portare Alleluia. Resurrexit sicut dixit Alleluia. That is, Queen of Heaven, rejoice, Alleluia. For he whom thou didst merit to bear, Alleluia. He has risen as he said, Alleluia. After the angels had finished singing these words, Resurrexit sicut dixit, Alleluia, Pope Gregory responded in a loud voice, Ora pro nobis Deum rogamus, Alleluia. Pray for us to God, we beseech thee. I'll leave you. It was thus that the Regina Caeli was born. The prayer with which we greet our Blessed Mother in place of the Angelus during Passover. What happened next was seen by Pope St. Gregory the Great alone. His attention was drawn towards the top of Emperor Hadrian's mausoleum. There he saw standing a mighty angel holding a sword, and the sword was dripping with blood. As Gregory looked on, he saw the angel wipe the sword dry and then place it back in the sheath at his side. And by this vision, the pontiff understood that the plague was over. After the death of St. Gregory in 604, the Romans began referring to Hadrian's mausoleum as Castel Sant'Angelo, or the Castle of the Holy Angel. Eventually, because it was believed that the warrior angel seen by St. Gregory was St. Michael, a statue of the archangel sheathing his sword was placed at the top of Castel Sant'Angelo. And to this day, the statue serves as a powerful reminder of God's merciful answer to the prayers and supplications of his people. Today, my dear friends, we too are in need of God's mercy. We need his mercy because we are faced with a situation that is similar to the situation that St. Gregory and the faithful of his time faced. The current situation in our country, with the virus and the uncertainty about the future, have caused fear, worry, and anxiety for many people. And with all this fear around us, it can at times be very easy to be influenced by it. We must therefore take care not to let ourselves be influenced, not to allow ourselves to be caught up by the fears of the world. For there is no amount of fear, worry, or anxiety that will fix anything. They will not make it any easier to bear the difficulties we are facing. They will serve only to make matters worse, and they already have. You know, I look around at the panic that has ensued in the world. And while it is true that fear has contributed greatly, thanks in no small part to the media, I believe that the reason there is so much fright is because many people do not have the faith. And many more do not even believe in God. And so when a crisis like this strikes, people don't know where to turn. And so they panic. But we who have the true faith, we who know who is in charge, we know where to turn. In fact, the gospel for today's Mass, this Easter Thursday, contains a powerful reminder that our divine Savior is with us through the most difficult times in our lives, even when we do not realize it. St. Mary Magdalene, as St. John tells us in the Gospel, was distraught that she could not find the body of Jesus. It was indeed one of the most trying times in her life, for she truly loved our divine Savior with the purest of loves. And so, not knowing what had become of him, she was overcome by a certain amount of worry and sadness. And because of this, she wept. But little did St. Mary Magdalene know, our risen Savior was beside her the whole time, disguised, so to speak, as a gardener. And as he was beside her during that difficult time, so is he with us in the midst of our hardships, and especially during the turbulent times in which we live. We may not realize it, as St. Mary Magdalene did not realize it, but he is with us, and he is with us to the end. He is, as it were, right beside us. We are in his care, and he will help us persevere through the hard times if we but look to him. And what's more, we have St. Michael on our side, the illustrious leader of the heavenly army and the protector of all the faithful on earth. The very archangel who was proclaimed by the prophet Daniel as the defender of God's people. But at that time, Daniel wrote, "Shall Michael rise up, the great prince, who standeth for the children of thy people." And as this glorious archangel stood up and ended the plague at the time of St. Gregory, he has the power to rise up and wipe out the virus today. Thus we, like St. Gregory, must raise our eyes and our hearts to him in prayer and sacrifice and beseech him. Beseech him to deliver us not only from the virus, but from the fear that has engulfed our nation. Let us ask him for this help, but let us also call upon him for the grace to be the leaders our times call for, to be the beacons of light and strength that our fellow man needs. In these trying days, my dear friends, we have to be beacons for others, beacons of calmness, confidence, and strength at this time of fear, worry, and anxiety. Let us then, like St. Michael, be those brilliant examples of courage and confidence for others, by remaining calm in the face of the present crisis, and by encouraging others, our relatives, friends, and even strangers, to place their confidence and trust in God and our Lady, for they will see us through. And as we call upon St. Michael's heavenly assistance in this plight, let us also seek his help in the greater evil, the evil of mortal sin. For this disease, the spiritual disease of mortal sin, is more widespread and is far more deadly than any other illness. And what is perhaps most lethal about this spiritual virus? Very few people are afraid of it. Very few. We must therefore do everything in our power, not only to avoid becoming infected, but we must also prevent its spread. And we can avoid it very simply by avoiding the occasions of mortal sin, the persons, the places, and the things that will cause us to fall into sin. And we can prevent its spread by leading with our good example. In other words, our lives should be patterns of how a Catholic behaves, what a Catholic says, and what a Catholic believes. There are so many ways, my dear friends, that we can be leaders, that we can be beacons in these troubled times. And if we, with the help of our Heavenly Mother, do our part, there is no telling what great good we can inspire others to accomplish. Nor is there telling how many souls we can be instrumental in leading to heaven. With this in mind, let us go forward with great confidence in God, knowing that the crisis in our country will pass. Life will go on, and things will get better. And let us be those Catholics these times call for. Catholics who are filled with love for God and confidence in Him, who fear nothing save mortal sin, and who are ready to make a difference with their prayers, their sacrifices, and their good works. May Saint Michael, the glorious Prince of Heaven, protect us both in soul and in body. And having overthrown the enemy, may he sheathe his sword with conviction and assurance that the victory has been won, not only in time, but for all eternity. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.